There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Giles Thomas, founder at Whole Design Studios, Acquire, Convert, and the creator of Conversion Machine. Hello, Giles. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. So let's start off as usual. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to.
Sure, yeah. So as you say, I'm running a design agency here in Berlin, Whole Design Studios. And then also I've created an online course for businesses and entrepreneurs in conversion rate optimization.
Otherwise known as CRO.
CRO, that's correct. So quite a new thing, I guess, in its current form. A lot of people aren't really aware of it or aware of what it really means. So yeah, I'm not surprised there that it's something that's maybe a little bit confusing or unknown to some people.
Tell us a little bit about the history, because I know it started in 2012, didn't it, when you quit your agency job?
Yeah, that's right. So I was working for some agencies in the north of England around about 2012. And to be honest, I just got to the point where I was really struggling to work for other people.
Yeah.
I had a lot of ideas, a lot of inspiration. And at the time, actually, I was very obsessed with this web TV show called This Week in Startups, which is by Jason Calacanis. He's a serial entrepreneur from New York.
Yes.
And he had this phrase that he would always harp on about in the TV show, which was, are you a rice picker or are you a samurai? So, you know, after a while, I really realized that I wanted to go out there and start, you know, slicing some opportunities in half, so to speak. So I left the job and really with very little savings or, you know, anything behind me, and pretty much just dived headfirst into the industry. Obviously, I had that experience, but I didn't really have a client base or, you know, an established business. So I had to kind of learn really, really fast, you know, how to basically find leads and sales for the business.
Fantastic.
Yep. So kind of fast forward 3-4 years. Now I've obviously been spending a lot of time, as you mentioned, on conversion rate optimization. We also work heavily in UX because there's a lot of crossover there. So a lot of my time spent, you know, kind of testing and refining and implementing different kind of CRO and UX processes and methodologies, basically. And I've also recently been doing that with Google at their new Launchpad, which is like an accelerator here in Berlin.
Just out of interest, what was the attraction of Berlin?
So Berlin for me really was the startup scene. So I originally came here to open a second office for the company because we used to be a very traditional business with kind of full-time staff and offices. And then actually in moving here, we ended up becoming completely remote. And actually now majority of the people are actually freelancers, not full-time. So
yeah,
we have some kind of, we use like flexi desks in co-working. In different cities around the world, but we don't really have kind of like a HQ, so to speak.
Sounds good. Now, tell us about, there's a particular technique that, I don't know if you're the inventor of it, the visitor vocal technique, and you've got a blog post about it. Tell us a little bit about that and how it fits into CRO.
Sure, yeah. So the visitor vocab technique, I mean, I guess to understand it, you really need to just take a step back and kind of get a better understanding of conversion rate optimization. So
yeah.
I think when most people hear about conversions or conversion optimization, they think about A-B testing. And they think about kind of digital analytics, so quantitative data from, say, Google Analytics or these kind of very standard analytics softwares. But actually, it's something much, much broader than that and much bigger than that now. Really, what it's about is it's about business optimization. And more importantly, it's about profit optimization.
Yeah.
So kind of leaders in this industry would be, for instance, Pat Liar from Conversion Excel. And he's kind of one of the few people who's been, you know, really pushing this industry forward and kind of changing it into what it is today. And that's, as I say, it's this kind of profit optimization. So you're really looking to improve the user experience company-wide through this process.
Yeah.
And also basically just create more money. So rather than going out and maybe, say, spending a ton more on marketing to drive more leads into the front of the funnel, what you can do is you can optimize the different stages in the funnel and basically try and get more of your potential out of your existing reach.
It sounds a bit like you're turning a funnel into a sort of jet engine.
Yeah, that's right. So as I say, most people, they think about these, you know, quantitative data, Google Analytics, A/B testing, but actually there's a whole other side to conversion optimization, which is qualitative data. So quantitative data is really like your what or where. So, you know, what page was the person on? And qualitative data is more like the why. So it's kind of like an exploration of the user's behaviors.
Yeah.
So this is where you have this huge crossover between conversion optimization and user experience. So what we do is we use the quantitative data in conversion optimization to understand what's happening. So for instance, okay, if you have a sales funnel, say on a shop, you know, you understand, okay, people are leaving on the second step of the cart, you know, they're not entering, say, their personal information, their address information. But then what you need is you need qualitative data to go in there and understand, well, why? You know, why are they leaving at that stage? It's all well and good having that analytical data to say what's happening. But if you don't understand why and you don't understand how to improve that, then it's very difficult. You know, it's very difficult to then improve the funnel and improve the conversions and profits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the visitor vocab technique, it really focuses on this qualitative data side of conversion optimization and really on customer behavior and customer understanding. Because actually in my experience running, you know, a lot of tests for a lot of different businesses in different niches over a number of years, the things that I see again and again really improve businesses is not running A/B tests. It's not, you know, looking at analytics. Actually, it's really qualitative data and talking to customers and basically really understanding the customer and their pain points and their needs, you know?
So it really is a blend, isn't it, of the kind of like the almost the psychology of the customer versus their actions, where they were, versus the sort of procedures you got in place or the mechanisms you got in place to sort of waft them through the tunnel or the funnel.
Yeah, that's right. So like a kind of broad process for conversion optimization would be you would start off with your kind of business objectives. So these might be like, your KPIs, your goals, your targets. You then go out, you do data collection. So as I say, this is like a mixture of quantitative data from, say, Google Analytics and then qualitative data, which is this user behavior exploration. So, I mean, there's a number of different ways you can do this. You can do, say, customer development interviews, or you could use tools like usertesting.com to kind of record how people use the website. And then you go away and you analyze all of this data.
Yeah.
And the analysis basically then creates these things called hypotheses, which are basically ideas you have that you want to go and try and validate through testing. So the idea might be, oh, actually the customer's, you know, more interested in the fact that we do free shipping, you know, or they may be more interested that we offer monthly pricing rather than annual pricing. So you're trying to find, you know, what's unique about your offer that really relates to the customer, or, you know, really, really speaks to them and is aligned with their needs and wants. And then these hypotheses, as I say, you want to test them. So obviously you have to execute the changes, and then you go away and you do kind of A/B testing or multivariate testing, or maybe even something like segmentation testing. So this is where, say, for instance, you want to test, okay, do new or returning visitors need or expect different messaging or, you know, different marketing efforts, basically. So that's the kind of the broad process. And the main part, really, as I say, is this data collection analysis and then the testing. And that's where the visitor vocab technique comes into it. So the visitor vocab technique, as I say, it really focuses on the qualitative data. And in this case, it's customer development interviews.
Yes.
So this is really like 10 to 15 minute, hopefully like in-person interviews with prospects, potential customers, and you're really asking them very broad, open questions and really just trying to learn not necessarily how they feel about your company, but just how they feel about the problem that you're trying to solve generally or your topic or industry. So it's very open and hopefully not very leading. And it's much better than many other sources of data collection. So say, for instance, you did like surveys online or something to try and understand the customer more.
Yeah.
Well, the first problem there is the questions are very closed. You know, you can choose three or maybe five questions to send someone in a survey, but you can't really listen to how they respond to the first question, then maybe change your second question, you know, and it doesn't give you a lot of option for really open learning, you know, new insights, because the questions are really kind of boxed in by what you already think you know about the customer, right?
So I was quite interested, actually, in these sort of like people interviews, these sort of real human being interviews. How do you find these people to interview? Because it can't be easy.
It is quite tricky finding the prospects, and it's something that I think again and again people do seem to struggle with. Mm. I mean, obviously the first thing is to go to your email list and to go to your leads, because this is like the biggest pool of potential customers you have. And in the visitor vocab technique, the data that you're collecting in these customer development interviews, it should really be from prospects, potential customers. It shouldn't be from past customers, because there's really two main types of customer development interview. Mm. So you have a feedback study, which is really when you're trying to learn, like, you know, why did somebody buy? You know, did they nearly not buy and why? And then there's this behavioral study, which is really trying to understand how they feel about their problem, how they would solve it, you know, how they feel about the state of your topic or niche, basically. It's much broader, much more open. And it's not really about your company or your offering at all. It's more about the customer, right? That's the whole point. So really your leads is the first step, or, you know, or your first degree contact network. And then you can do things like social searching is a good one, you know, searching on Twitter. We also do things like we'll set up Google alerts or BuzzSumo alerts. So maybe if somebody is talking about the topic online, you can get alerted that it's kind of new content. You can reach out to them. And cold calling people really as well it's difficult. People don't like to do it cold calling.
I remember I had to do that once.
But I think the stuff that gets the big results is often the stuff you don't want to do. It's the hard stuff.
Yes.
So there's a few ways that you can find those prospects.
Okay, let's talk about some success stories, people that have implemented this and you know, it's worked well for them.
Yeah, sure. So we actually did this with a customer as part of actually a bigger process, but it was one of the data collection points. And this is for a company called Career Foundry here in Berlin.
Yeah.
Career Foundry is it's a startup. They've been venture-backed and they've raised about €1 million to date. And they do... they're in the ed tech space, basically. So they do UX and web development courses for people looking to kind of change career and get into the tech industry.
Okay.
So they actually kind of took the course conversion machine. We did a little bit of hand-holding with them because it's quite a big process, especially the first time you do it. So you do need, I think, some help with that. And we did some customer development interviews as part of the data collection. The process was bigger for them, as I say. So there were other data collection points, but overall, they've actually like had a 400% lift in their monthly revenue mostly from the customer development interviews. That was like probably the source of data where we kind of got the biggest customer insights and the biggest customer learnings. Because really you sat down talking to them, right? I mean, it's all well and good trying to interpret a survey answer or, you know, having a pop-up on the website, an exit intent poll or a website survey poll. But when you really sat talking to someone, and I think that's when, you know, you can read their body language. You know, you can read, you know, if they shrug their shoulders or screw up their face, you really understand if something's a real problem for them or something that they really desire, you know.
So these really are face-to-face interviews, are they, rather than sort of through Skype or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Skype is a great second option, but definitely video is a must, you know, as I say, so at least try to understand, you know, the body language and maybe facial expressions. So specifically for the visitor vocab technique, basically, as I say, you go out, you do these customer development interviews, you do these behavioral studies, you create questions. So actually in the link that you're going to show in the show notes, we've got some question framework.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So people can follow?
Yes.
Because creating the questions actually is like really, really important and not such an easy thing to do. A lot of the time people will create very leading questions. So they'll say like, don't you think this is good? You know, more or less. And then you're more or less putting the words in the person's mouth.
So the
question has to be very, very opening. So for instance, you might start off with something like, what's your biggest struggle with, you know, X right now, your topic, whatever it might be, you know, what's your biggest struggle in marketing your business right now? So you're not saying to them, you know, don't you think, for instance, our content marketing services would help you make more money through marketing. You know, you're saying, you know, what is the state of your marketing right now? How do you feel about it? You know, what would it mean for you to get more leads, you know, for your business? What would it mean if your business had 10% more sales? So it's very open questioning.
Yes.
The second point is really recording the interviews. And I think people make a lot of mistakes in this. And the main mistake I see is that, first of all, they don't record the interviews, the audio of the interviews. Mm. They simply take notes. So in taking notes, first of all, you're not really listening to the person. And you can probably miss out on a lot of really interesting things where you could have asked follow-up questions and got these new insights, these new learnings. Mm. And the second point is, when you're taking notes, generally people will write down their interpretation of what the person's saying.
Of course.
Now, actually, what's really important is writing down exactly what they say. And that's why it's really good to record the audio, because then you can simply do the interview. You have the audio recording. Mm. You don't have to take any notes. You can just focus on, you know, asking better questions, listening to what they're saying. And then afterwards, you can transcribe the call and, you know, go through it. And then you have it really the exact words they say. And this is really a big part of the visitor vocab technique. So as I say, you do these customer development interviews, you know, you can record the audio, and then really it comes down to then how you analyze that data and use it. And that's where the kind of the specialty of the technique comes in. So
yes.
Because you have these transcriptions, you literally have the words the customers use. So what you can do is you can take all of the sentences that every single person said, just obviously not the interviewer, just the interviewee, and you can put those into a word cloud. And what that does is it'll basically bring up the most common words that everybody's using, and you can try and find these really interesting patterns.
How interesting.
or nuances that you didn't really understand. So
yes.
For instance, for another example of a company that's had some really good success with this is Adaptive Realty. So this is a real estate company in the West Coast in America.
Yes.
So they do marketing online through a blog called Cargan's Blog, which is the CEO's kind of like personal blog, basically. Mm. So they use this technique. And what they actually found was that when they were speaking with prospects, everybody kept talking about this idea of a recipe for real estate success. And they were like, where's this word recipe coming from? You know, like they really didn't understand this at all. So what they did is they had these transcriptions, you know, they put them in the word cloud. They found, you know, these interesting different words, you know, all people are saying recipe. Obviously they're talking about real estate. They're talking about success in real estate. But specifically, people talking a lot about trust and expertise. And they were talking about this kind of, yeah, this idea for a recipe. Like one woman actually said, you know, I'm looking for somebody who I can trust, who has expertise in the area, and someone who has like a recipe that's worked before. So what they did was, and this is kind of the point of the visitor vocab technique, is they took these customer learnings around the kind of the vocabulary they use to describe their pains and their desires, and they kind of invert it into sales and marketing copy. And that's really the secret there. So rather than saying, you know, okay, we can help you in real estate, you know, broadly, generally, what they said is, you know, you can trust us. We have expertise in the area and we have a proven recipe, you know, for real estate. And it's these strange words or these basically the customer's own very personal ways of describing their needs and wants that you can try and find through this technique, and then and create basically sales and marketing copy that's much more aligned with how they think and describe, you know, those topics and those industries. Another really famous example actually is Derek Haltburn from Social Triggers.
Yes.
He found that when he was selling his first information product, which was an email and traffic course, when he spoke to people in his interviews, a lot of people kept on saying, "I just feel like my website's invisible."
Right.
Now, it's not really a word you would think someone would use to describe having trouble getting traffic to their website, right?
Yeah.
By doing these customer development interviews, he found that actually a lot of people use this word to describe the fact that they weren't getting enough visitors to their site. They just felt like the site was invisible. And he then ended up using that to actually be the main value proposition and to really sell the information product to those people to help them get more traffic and emails.
This is really powerful stuff. So, I mean, a lot of our listeners, you know, they're towards the smaller end of the businesses. Some of them are one-man bands. What would you say is the sort of, you know, what can they do? What's the top priority to get right?
Yeah, well, I think it comes to conversion optimization, what I see again and again, especially with small businesses, is they basically try to market to everybody. That's the main problem. Mm. And that's really the whole point of conversion optimization. It's about relevance.
Yes.
So in kind of doing these interviews and really understanding what's important to your customers, you can really start to get really relevant to, you know, to them in your messaging. And even more than that, you know, it's one thing to be relevant to your customers in a broad niche, but it's even better to be relevant to them in a smaller niche, you know, for instance. So if you put in like web design or web design agency online, you're going to get like, you know, hundreds of thousands of companies, you know, even in England, that are offering, you know, freelancers and small companies offering those services. But for instance, you know, if you target a niche, say you want to be the music industry website guy, you know,
yeah,
or you want to be, you know, the fashion industry website woman, then I think already you're making it much, much easier to market and to find those potential customers, right? And also when they come to your website in the future and you have more and more examples of, you know, just work for their industry, then they're going to be much more compelled to work with you as well, because they really feel and trust your experience, not only in those technical things and in marketing or design, but also it for specifically their industry, right? So I think it comes down to relevance. I think it comes down to really going, you know, an inch wide and a mile deep on a niche.
This reminds me of something that I'm going to embarrass myself now on the show because I can't remember who it was, but I was reading about, I think it was one guy who was starting a business, and this sounds a bit like your interviews. He started off by doing a podcast and he got lots of feedback and questions, yeah, and things. And he used that before he'd even built the brand and built the product. He used that to sort of govern what his product was going to be. So it sounds like a similar sort of technique. You know, he's getting the vocab, yes, and the questions from his potential clients and then molding, yes, the business around that. It's very, very powerful.
Yep. So, I mean, what you're talking about really is customer development, right? So customer development pretty much comes from Steve Blank, a very famous marketer. And he had this phrase, "Get out of the building," which was, basically, you know, if you want to make sales, if you want to get leads, then you've got to go out and you've got to talk to the customers, you know, because business is really about people.
Yeah.
It's not about a landing page or a form completion or, you know, a percentage in an A-B test. It's about people with problems that need to be solved, right? So perfect what you're the guy you were talking about there. He's gone out and, you know, he spent some time basically listening, right?
Yes.
And listen to their problems. And he doesn't even need to come up with a business idea. They've created the business idea for him by telling him
literally, yes,
their problems,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which of course is the first rules in sales, isn't it? One of the first rules in sales, they say, is, you know, get to know that you're what's your client looking for, you know, what are their problems, yeah, if you can solve their problems. So you mentioned you know, a few sort of things, you know, people often don't niche properly and they, yeah, don't sort of focus on the relevance. What are the sort of top mistakes to, you know, have you seen people make? Things to avoid.
Well, the big one really is to go out and spend money on traffic and spend money on web design, but then really not capture any of that value from the website.
Yeah.
I think probably there's kind of two-part point there. So the first point is the web design. You see so many small businesses and they have this reaction, okay, we're a new business, we need a website. But then they really don't think about where the traffic is coming from. They don't even consider this. They just expect people to come. You know, like if you book them, they will come. It's not a Wayne. Unfortunately, it's not Wayne's World, and people aren't just going to show up to your website. You know, so they'll go out and they'll spend money on the website, but they won't really understand, you know, where those people are going to come from, and where do they even live online? You know, who is their customer? Have they personified them? You know, where do they exist online? What social channels? You know, what websites can they get referral traffic from? What, you know, search engine optimization can they do? What kind of keyword searches are they doing? And the second thing is, if they even get this right, which is very rare, I think, for people to, you know, I think most small business websites have pretty low traffic. I'd say like less than 1,000 visits a month.
Yeah.
My experience. Yeah. Once they kind of get this right, and they maybe start to get blogging right, or, you know, they do some kind of PR. Once they get those people on the website again and again, the websites just are not conversion focused. So because they don't go out and they don't do this kind of customer development interviews, or they don't do this kind of deep analysis of the customer, their offer isn't very aligned. Therefore, the customer just generally isn't really wanting to give their email address or any kind of lead information away. But then also the website really isn't focused on, you know, capturing that email or capturing that content, contact information. So maybe they have a contact page or something. But, you know, there's many, many ways and many techniques you can use to really improve the number of those visitors that then end up on an email list or contacting you to become a prospect. So I think those are the two things that most small businesses need to focus on better. You know, where is that traffic coming from? And once it's there, you know, how are you planning to capture it? What are you offering to them in return? You know, using a lead magnet, you know, offering an ebook or a white paper or something like
sure.
this.
Yeah. So in summary then, what would you say, Giles, would be a good summary? How should we be using this information?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, the best thing I think is to take action. You know, so many times I find people they'll read and they'll study tutorials online, or they'll listen to podcasts, but then rarely do they go away then and, you know, kind of put that information into action. So I'd say maybe go away, look at the show notes if you have time to look over the blog post that we've kind of been talking about today. Have a look through and you know, give it a go. Like, even if you can find enough time to talk to like 3 potential customers, I think you'd be really surprised in how much you'll learn and how much you'll start to understand more the customer that you're targeting and really what they need from you, and then you'll be able to market to them much, much more effectively.
Fantastic. So we'll put a link on the show notes, but tell us a bit about how our listeners can find out more about you and the visitor vocab technique.
Yeah, sure. So I blog about these processes that we create at acquireconvert.com, and then also I have like a premium online training course for businesses and entrepreneurs called Conversion Machine. So that's at conversionmachine.co.
Yep.
So if you're like an e-commerce store or a SaaS business and you want to get more leads and sales for your business, and you really want to harness that traffic that's on your site, then I think really that course is going to bring a lot of value for you. Or also, you know, really, if you're a freelancer, or even as we are, you know, a designer or a marketing agency, you want to be able to charge more for your services and offer better processes and results to the clients, then I think, you know, it packs a lot of value as well.
Well, Giles, thanks so much for talking to us. And thank you for our lovely listeners. If you want to go to the show notes, you'll find them at sitevisibility.com/impodcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you want to contact us, 2 ways. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. And we have a telephone hotline if you want to leave a vocal response. Is +44 1273 256 150. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Giles.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. We'll